Om agyana timi ran tasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha nama shreshtam vanamapi shachiputram atra swarupam rupam tasya agrajam maturim goshtavatim nurupurim maturim goshtavatim radha kundam girivaramaha radhika madhavasham praptaya sipatita kripaya shri gurum tam natosmi Vandeham Sri Guru Shriyata Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamstra Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagarna Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Purajana Sahitam Krishna Taitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagarna Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamstra Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada almost always gave classes expounding the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. In the great majority of his classes, this was the... He would take some philosophical points, usually a few points in one lecture. It seems that Srila Prabhupada didn't prepare lectures as such, but there would be the verse and the purport, he would speak on that, and he would elaborate on different philosophical points. He often gave analogies to demonstrate different points. Sometimes he told some stories, not long stories, but some small stories, again, to demonstrate some philosophical point. Or he would describe some anecdote or something that he had observed, or some anecdote from history like this, but otherwise it was very philosophical, with a few exceptions. He didn't give classes just speaking of Leela from beginning to end, either Krishna Leela or devotee's Leela, devotee's activities. There's one class in which Srila Prabhupada, he spoke about himself, how he first came to meet Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and that was the subject of the class, and then how on Saraswati Thakur's order he had come to the Western world. So his instructions on various topics. He didn't present topics in a systematic way, in the sense, just like structured courses. Take module 101, 102, 103, and go through, and then go to the next topic. He spoke as Krishna inspired him, as he, generally that's understood, that a preacher speaks according to the need of the, seeing the need and the capacity of the, and of the listeners, he speaks accordingly. So the early classes that he gave in New York in 1966 and 1967, Srila Prabhupada explains the basic philosophy of Krishna consciousness in a detailed manner. Later he, well, in the beginning he's mostly speaking on Gita topics, although within after some time, there was an inner group of devotees, they were very beginning devotees at the time, who had come for, there wasn't so much personal classes, but in Srila Prabhupada, instead of coming down to the main hall, if you could call it that, it's a very small, that storefront, instead of coming down there where the public class was, you can hardly sit 20 people in that storefront in New York, where the first center of ISKCON was. 20, maybe 25, like that. It's very small. So Srila Prabhupada stayed in an apartment just at the back of that. So sometimes after some beginning devotees had been coming for some time, then Srila Prabhupada would have separate classes for them in his room. And then he spoke on Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then he went through. He wanted to teach Sanatan Shiksha, or Sanatan Shikha, as it's referred to in Bengali. It's among Gauriya Vaishnavas. That's a standard term for the several chapters. toward the end of the Madhya Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, which describes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings to Sanatan Goswami. So Srila Prabhupada started teaching that, reading the verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita, translating, because at the time there was no Chaitanya Charitamrita published at that time. When I was allowed to join this movement, the only volume of Chaitanya Charitamrita we had was the one chapter. The first part Srila Prabhupada released was Lord Chaitanya in Five Features, Chapter 7 of Adi Lila. When he took up the task of translating Chaitanya Charitamrita, he translated this first of all, because it... In there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his refutation of Mayavad is described. So Srila Prabhupada wanted to translate. He had translated first and published separately as a book, Lord Chaitanya in Five Features. And he said that this should be given to every big Mayavadi in India, which I don't think ever happened. Still could be done. Of course, all the big Mayavadis of that time, most of them have already merged in the impersonal Brahman. Something happened to them. They passed away. So anyway, Srila Prabhupada spoke on that. And in that, there's some story at the beginning of that. And Srila Prabhupada went through it verse by verse, explaining how Sanatan was the minister of the government of Nawab Hussain Shah. Who told me that recently? Someone said that those terms, Dabir Khas and Sakir Malak, that they're titles of some position in the government, not names as such. Someone told me that recently. Maybe it was, Damodar Nityananda told me that. He told me that someone had told him that, so I asked him to investigate that further. It's some Arabic or whatever, Persian terms for finance minister and home minister, something like that. Someone had told him that, so I asked him to investigate that further. So how Sanatan was imprisoned, escaped from prison by bribery, and then the story is there, how he came to the edge of the forest, Jharkhand, and at Hazaribagh, that's the place that's still there in Bihar. Then he got across the forest and hills, and So it seems that Srila Prabhupada skipped through a lot of the story and he went into the philosophical part, which is the instruction. He described a little bit about the story in a series of lectures. Srila Prabhupada, his instructions, they're scattered here and there throughout his teachings. That's the structure of Shastra is generally like that also, the Puranas. Gita, definitely there's a system in it, but it's not as we expect in modern education, 101, 102, 0.1, 0.2, 0.3. You'll find that often in Gita, points that are discussed, and then they're gone back to, just like in the beginning of Gita, there's the description, Dehino Sminyata Dehe Komarang Yovanang Jaratata Dehantara Praptihi. How the living being, or specifically referring to a human here, they go from childhood to youth to old age, then to death. And then again we find, this comes back to this point, thanks to Arjuna's question in the beginning of chapter 8 about leaving the body. Yang yang vapi smram bhavam tyajyante kalevram tam tame vaiti kauntaya sada tad bhava bhavitaha. One gets a new body depending on the consciousness at the time of death. Then again in the 15th chapter, ukramantang stitang vapi bhunjanam vaguram vitam vimurha nanu paschanti paschanti jnana chakshur shrotram chakshur. Like this. So how the ignorant cannot see, they cannot understand how the living being transfers from one body to another. But one who has the eye of knowledge can see. So there's definitely a flow in Bhagavad Gita. But the topics, they're not exactly systematic as we expect in modern education. That's a lot to do with Arjuna's questions also, because Krishna answers Arjuna's questions. And then what Krishna was going to say at the beginning of chapter 4, although on Kurukshetra, Krishna didn't say that, well, now that's chapter 3, now I'm starting chapter 4. But it's divided like that by Vyasadeva. So what he was going to, he started off this imang vivasvate yogang proktavana hamavyayam. And then he goes on to evang parampara praptam, and then sa evayang mayateja yoga prokta puratana. He said to Arjuna that I spoke this to the sun god and the sun god passed it down and came down in parampara. The parampara got broken. Now I'm going to speak to you. And because you're my devotee and my friend, that same knowledge. It seems like Arjuna, maybe he didn't hear a couple of verses because he's just thinking about, what's that about speaking to the sun god? And it takes Arjuna a little time to bring up his question. Arjuna asks a question relating to two verses previously, which means that it seems like he was thinking about it and trying to work it out. Maybe he wasn't even listening to what Krishna said in between. So you spoke to the sun god, right? So, but how is that possible? Because you're only the same age as me. Aparang bhavato janma parang janma vivasvataha. Katame tan vijane an tvamado proktavaniti. So, how did you speak to the sun god when the sun god was born so much? And then again, Krishna comes back to the same topic about birth after birth. Bahuni mevya titani janmani tavacharjan. I already said, come on, I already told you that. We had many births. Tani ahang veda saravani natvang veta parantapa. But I understand all, I know about all my previous births, but you don't. Then Krishna goes off into speaking, because Ajopi Sana, because I'm unborn, I appear by. So we don't know what Krishna was going to say before Arjuna interrupted him. But anyway, it all comes out nicely in the end. So what we expect in modern education, it might not be exactly there in the Shastric idiom. That's the word I was looking for. Although there are systematic studies based on original Shastra. For instance, the Shatshandarbha of, well, even before that, Vedanta Sutra is systematic, point by point. And then the Sandarbhas of Jiva Goswami, they establish all the points of Gaurya Darshan, point by point by point. So taking from Shastra, taking this quote from here, this quote from there, so that we can understand. And the nature of knowledge being what it is, unlimited, and the nature of intelligence, the human mind, being what it is, there may be more and more questions which arise. Commentaries are made on Shastra. Studies are made of Shastra. And then again, some topic will come up on the basis of that. Just like we see, Srila Prabhupada, he wrote so many books. And devotees read it and say, well, what does that mean? How are we to understand this? That's why we find that there are, on the important Shastras, there are commentaries. And then there are commentaries on the commentaries. And that can go on. There could be commentaries on the commentaries on the commentaries. Bhasha is the general word for commentary. Just like the Sri Bhasha of Ramanuja establishes, that's on Vedanta Sutra, that establishes his philosophical system. And there are sub-commentaries, they're called tika. That also, just like we have Digdarshani Tika, that's on Hari Bhakti Vilas. So Hari Bhakti Vilas, that's a work, and the commentary is by the authors. Gopal Bhatta Goswami collected all the materials. Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipuno Sandharma Samsthapako. So he collected the materials, which means that you have to, in those days, means you have to collect all the manuscripts, go through them, no typing in and looking for keywords and all that. And then select from all various Shastras points which are relevant. And then Sanatana Goswami, it seems that Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he did the original, the work of collecting all the verses, and then Sanatana Goswami put it in order. Like that. I'm trying to do that with some of my disciples also. I have so many writings, I'm trying to find someone to put it all in order, and then I can do the final touches. I'd ask you to do that. It's not such an easy task, it seems. So, in Hari Bhakti Vilas, in one sense, that's already a commentary on Shastra, or it's extracted from Shastra. It becomes, in a sense, a Shastra itself. It's a Smriti. Smriti, this, generally the Vedic knowledge is divided into Shruti and Smriti. Shruti means the Vedas, that which is apaurusheya, that which eternally exists, not written or compiled by anyone. And there is Smriti, which refers to, generally that's understood to refer to the Puranas, but it also, what also is called Smriti is what are called Dharma Shastras. They are compiled by persons from taking quotes from different Shastras about personal behavior. Well, Dharma Shastra means law, and Smriti, that is directions for daily life. There are many of them. But the Dharma Shastra and these Smritis, they overlap. The most famous Smriti is Manu Smriti. And in Kali Yuga, Parashara Smriti is said to be most important. And there are many, Yajnavalkya Smriti, Harita Smriti, Narada Smriti, Vishnu Smriti, all depending on the name of the author. When we say Vishnu Smriti, that doesn't mean the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but a person by the name of Vishnu. So there are various Smritis, which, and they're all based on Shastra. But they're for different people in different times and different places, and also according to the prayojan. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu analyzed that the Vedic knowledge can be understood in three categories: sambandha, abhideya, prayojan. Sambandha means to understand, well, what's it all about anyway? What are we doing? How do we end up in this mess down here anyway? But it might, or it may be not how do we end up in this mess down here, but hey, this material world is great. That's what the Karmakani, Mimamsakas, they think. What's all this about the material world being suffering? It's great. You just do a few yajnas, go to the heavenly planets and enjoy like anything. Then you come back again and do a few more yajnas and go back up again. Krishna analyzes that in Gita, that Trividyamam Somapaputapapa Yagyairishva Swargating Pratyante Evang Trai Dharma Manuprapana Gatagatang Kama Kama Labhante. Krishna says that these people, they perform yajnas, they go to the heavenly planets, they enjoy themselves up there, and then they come back again, and then they go up again, and it's all on the basis of karma, which Krishna has analyzed already as being karma, material desire, as the cause of fall down. And that's another topic. Karma, Krishna speaks about it in various places. In the second chapter, and then again in the third chapter, and then in the 16th chapter, as of course throughout Gita he speaks of it, but in the second chapter there are two very important verses, Jayato Vishayan Pumsa, Sangasteshu Pajayate, Sangat Sanjayate Kamaha. So how karma leads to fall down. Then again in the third chapter, again prompted by Arjuna's question that, why? Since you're telling me, you're talking to me about all these things, why do we, all of a sudden you become a big philosopher, Krishna. I never saw this side of you before. Because Krishna and Arjuna, they were friends. They go hunting and this and that. They didn't stop in the middle and have some philosophy. We don't find in Mahabharata there's philosophical discussion between Krishna and Arjuna. They're Kshatriya, princes and friends. So Arjuna asks Krishna, then, okay, so... We don't want to sin, but we do anyway. Why do we do that? And then again, karma, and then Krishna goes on to explain the nature of karma and warns it's very dangerous. Nitya Vairi, it's our eternal enemy. So we have to conquer that. Jahi Shatrung Mahabaho. Big armed, you got big arms, conquer this enemy. You're famous for conquering enemies, conquer this enemy. the enemy of lust. And again, in the 16th chapter, Krishna says these are three gates to hell. Kama, krodha, tatha, lobha. These should be given up. So, Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, it's very bad, but there are some people who think it's very good. Have all these desires, you do some yajnas, go to the heavenly planets, enjoy some. But then again, the next verse, Krishna says, kshine punye maritya lokam vishanti. You have to come back to this, you think it's very nice, but you have to come to this world of death. It's not so nice. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukha dosha anudarshanam. This is the material situation that we have to suffer: birth, death, old age, and disease. So sambandhagya. First of all, what's going on? What are we doing? What's this world all about? Some people say, well, it's all about enjoying. And others say, no, it's not about enjoying. It's getting free from illusion. And Vaishnavas say, especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers, it's all about love. Everything is about love, but there's not this love here. Love for Krishna. So that's sambandha. And prayojan, that's the prayojan. Actually, sambandha, sambandha is jiva sarup hoy Krishna nityadas. The jiva, his nature, is the eternal servant of Krishna. And prayojan is prema. Love for Krishna. And then abhideya is acting in that relationship so that we can come to the point of love of Krishna. So these smritis, they are guidebooks, what to do, and they have everything in them. Just Hari Bhakti Vilas is the smriti for Gauriya Vaishnavas. Everything, brush your teeth in the morning. Tell you everything. One should rise early, brush teeth, evacuate, bathe, all things are there. All kinds of details. Different smritis give more details and others less. Just like in Hari Bhakti Vilas, some things are not given. It's like do Achaman. Or it will say do Achaman, but it doesn't tell you how to do. So that may be taken from some other smriti, or maybe it's just understood that people know how to. There are different systems of doing that also. So daily activities, nitya karma, daily activities that should be performed. Naimitik karma, those that should be done from time to time. Just like you'll find in Hari Bhakti Vilas is described, observance of Ekadashi, observance of Chaturmasya, observance of Shivratri, Janmashtami, these are all described in Hari Bhakti Vilas. There's another one, the Nitya Karma, Naimitik Karma, and Kamya Karma. These are the three kinds of karmas or activities that are described in the Vedic literature. Kamya Karma means an activity performed with the aim of attaining a desired result. For instance, one may desire to obtain much wealth. So one undergoes some process for doing that. And when you get the wealth, then you stop doing it. That's all there. We find in Bhagavatam, for instance, the Payavrata, that Kashyapa Muni taught to Diti. Because it was not something that she would do regularly, but maybe once in her life, with a specific aim of filling a specific desire. So the specific desire was that she wanted to kill Indra. She wanted to get a son who could kill Indra. So In the Vedic literature, everything is the Nigama Kalpa Taro Galitam Phalam. This is the ripened fruit of the desire tree of the Vedic literature. Last night at Warangal station, Purna Brahma asked me that, well, as Vaishnavas, do we believe in black magic? I said, yeah, there's a Sanskrit word for it. It's right there. There's a lot of it. This abhicha. Have you heard of that word, abhicha? He'd not heard of it. You'd not heard of it either. There's a lot of it in Atharva Veda, and no doubt it's been well developed to a science by tantrics and all this. Kala Jadu. Yeah, that's exactly black magic. Kala Jadu. I wonder whether that term was there in Bengali before. Maybe it was taken from the British, from the English language. It's what's that? You have an Urdu word for it? What's that word? Assam Kamaksha, yeah. That's the also in Kerala. In Bengal in general. There used to be many tantrics before communist government. They trained all the children in the schools. If you ever see a sadhu, throw stones at them and all this kind of thing. So no, and in Orissa also, it's quite prominent. This tantra that the temple in Puri of Jagannath, it's also a Shakti Putam of Bimala. This Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was born in Puri. He was given the name Bimala Prasad. So Bimala means one gopi of the spiritual world, but it's also the name of the Shakti associated with Jagannath. So, yeah, abhicha, there's black magic. You can do all kinds of nasty things. And he told me how someone had lemons thrown in front of him. I said to him, lemon, don't worry too much about lemons. It's when they throw cat's bones and hair and meat, beef and all these things, that's when it gets really dangerous. They put the spells inside that. So it's a common thing. It's not specifically in Indian art. It's there all over the world. In Europe, there was a long history of witch burning. If they thought someone was a witch, mostly women, they'd burn them. In Russia, I don't know about in South Russia, but you have witches down there also, shamans. In Tatarstan, one of my disciples who died now, she was a victim of black magic. So it's there everywhere. There's a lot in Russia, maybe out towards that area, towards Tatarstan and Siberia. These shamans, which may not necessarily be bad, they can be. There's what's called white witches. In English, they're called white witches also. They do magic, but it's supposed to be good, or they counteract. They have that also in India. The tantric puts a spell on you, find another tantric. And he'd take, and the tantrics are fighting, using all their ghosts. They send their ghosts to fight with each other. So everything's there in Shastra, but we're not interested in that. They have all these terms also. Pishachi is in the Garuda Purana, there's a description of different kinds of ghosts. Everything's there in Shastra. Pishachi paile jaina mati channa hoy maya grasta jivesh e Maya Grashta Jiva Hoy Shai Bhavudoy. That's described in Prema Vivarta, that someone who's not in Krishna consciousness, it's like they're what's that called? Possessed by a witch. Pishachi Pile means the witch got you. Maya Grasta. Grasta means like possessed. Maya Grasta. So you become crazy. Matichanna. Someone who's not in Krishna consciousness is crazy. Yesterday, from the Bhagavatam, we were reading, there are all kinds of terms that Srila Prabhupada used in the purport. Spiritually dead. He's talking about the people who are spiritually dead. What other? Prostitute hunter. He was talking about non-devotees in general. They become like chasing after material desires, like prostitute hunters. There are several others. Of course, the verse itself is describing people. They're like, people are interested in topics other than Krishna. They're like, the literature which appeals to people, the literature which is not concerned with Krishna, that is just like a pilgrimage place for crows. And swan-like persons don't take any interest there. So, Hare Krishna, today is Jagannath Rath Yatra in Bhimavaram. For the first time, almost, I think it must be the first time. No one ever did one here before. Some town I was in recently, that Bhopal, they had Rath Yatra there this year. But it wasn't the first time. It had been done many years ago by some other ISKCON devotees. It's the first one in West Godavari. Are you sure? Are you sure? Because in Vijayanagaram, there's a Jagannath temple, nothing to do with ISKCON. It's a few hundred years old, and they have regular Rath Yatra. So there's no Jagannath temple this far south. That's probably because it's close to Orissa and Simhachalam. The Oriya culture blends with the Telugu culture all the way down to Simhachalam. Because the Oriya people come there to worship. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm asking. Is there no traditional Jagannath temple in the whole of West Godavari? But it's up there because it's close to the Orissa border. So the Oriya and Telugu cultures mix. Rai Ramananda, he was the governor of this whole area under Prataparudra Raja, and that was just close by Kovur. That's the same district, isn't it? And Rajamundry means it's in the next district. Only the bridge is there. Then Rajamundry is its own district. So it was interlinked in the sense that the king was sitting in Cuttack and he was ruling over this area here also. So in this way there may be interaction of culture. But anyway, as far as we know, this is the first Jagannath Rath Yatra in this Kali Yuga in West Godavari district. Of course, there was no West Godavari district until about 1949 or something, when they divided the states. 1960, so late, was it? Andhra Pradesh was created. The linguistic thing, but the districts were created before that? Don't know, I have to look into that. It's not the most important thing. But in this area, anyway, whatever it was called previously, there was a Raja here at Bhimavaram, was it? Previously, during the British time, as late as that? Don't know. This wasn't under the Nawab in Hyderabad, I don't think so. That was Telangana, more or less what's called Telangana today, isn't it? Up to Khammam. Not in the north of Telangana, didn't come under Hyderabad. No. Then he must have gone south some distance also. Because, up to Bidar also? It was a large area because he was a rich fellow. Very rich. The Nizam. You don't become rich by having three villages in your kingdom. You have to have a large area. So, first time. It's long overdue, isn't it? I mean, in the meantime, maybe 50% of the population have already converted to Christianity and become, if we're going to be frank, they've just become demons, actually, because they're trained like that. I mean, there are different strains of Christianity. And in the West, many Christians, they if they see Jagannath Rath Yatra, they'll appreciate it at some level. But here, they become very inimical to that. This morning, Gauradas told me that he was told by an RSS worker that 25,000 crores are coming in every year for Christian conversion. It's a good business. People, they don't care about their soul. They're supposed to convert for the sake of some, for their soul, but they care about, they get some money, okay, convert, great. Which is very sad that people could be so callous and so much bereft of any higher motive. And previously, it must have been literally millions of people died rather than convert to Islam. But now, for a few rupees, they'll convert, and they don't care. They'll eat beef. And Hindus are eating beef now because the government is promoting it. They made it very cheap. What a horrible situation. So we have to preach. We have to preach Krishna consciousness. We have to preach. We have to understand what Krishna consciousness is. We have to practice it ourselves. In some ways, it's not so easy to preach Krishna consciousness as it is to preach atheism or Christianity or Islam, because it's such a challenge. It's idealistic. No meat, no fish, no eggs, and rise early, which you're supposed to do in Islam, but most of them don't do it. They have a challenge there also, the Ramadan fasting. It's not easy, especially in the hot months, when it comes in the hot months, which it is now. But actually it appeals to a lower mentality, that by you'll go to heaven and you'll enjoy there. There's not really much about God or love of, there's no love there. It's not prem dharma. It's actually based on the idea of better sense gratification. So, due to the atmosphere of Kali Yuga, we can expect that people will take that up. And, of course, you're allowed in Christianity, you're allowed to eat meat and drink wine. You can do anything. In Islam, there are some restrictions. You're not supposed to drink wine or eat pork. In Christianity, there used to be that you're... It used to be that you're not supposed to eat meat on Friday. When I was growing up, that was for Catholics especially. I was born in a Catholic family. You're allowed to eat fish, but not meat. I think fish was introduced as a concession a little later. But no one follows that. Gradually everything. It used to be Buddhists also. They wouldn't eat. They would eat, most of them would eat meat, but they wouldn't eat beef in countries like Japan and but now they're eating. In Thailand, when I was there, people weren't eating beef. I was there in the early 1980s. I was trying to do some preaching there with not much manifest result. But now I don't know, because everything has changed. Everything, money, 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 profit, profit. That's the whole motive of everything. So they don't care what religion, they can change their religion. But for a few rupees, they can change their religion. And they don't care. That means they're not really theistic at all. They're not really thinking, who is God and what does he want from me? If someone comes along and offers them some money, okay. Because religion is presented as something for worldly gain. Pray to this God and you'll get your material desires fulfilled. So really, our movement is an educational movement. Srila Prabhupada said that. He said, when he was asked, is this a religion? He said, it's a philosophical, cultural, and educational movement meant for the spiritualization of the world. So educational, but it's very difficult to educate because people are, that's there in the science of self-realization, you'll find that. Very difficult to educate people because the whole education is also just about how to get money, especially in India. Only how to get money, 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 that's all. That's the whole aim of education. And thinking deeply. You saw in the university, there's the postgraduate students in the university, how stupid they were. What are symptoms of intelligence? Punctuality. Or maybe indirectly, but... I mean, obviously, memory, analysis, ability to analyze, these are obvious symptoms of intelligence, but the first one said confidence, and someone said punctuality. These are postgraduate students. Whew. Something missing in the intelligence department. But they must have some intelligence to be postgraduate students, but they're just given one unidirectional thinking, that's all. So they can't even think very broadly in material terms. What to speak of spiritual terms? Then they become like animals. The animals just live ahara nidra bhayamaitun, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And such questions as Brahma Jignasa, what is the nature of truth, that never comes to their mind. Not even prior to that comes Dharma Jignasa. And that doesn't even come to their mind either. This verse, Ahara Nidra Bhaya Maithunam Cha Samanya Maitat Pashubhya Naranam Dharmo Hitesham Atiko Vishesham Dharmena Hina Pashubhya Naranam. Actually, there are two versions of that verse. Another version is Gyanena Hina Pashu Gyano Hitesham. So I just suppose, it just came to my mind right now at this second, that Dharmo Hitesham, that would be said by the Mimamsakas, because the Jaimini Mimamsa Sutra begins with Atato Dharma Jignasa. And Vyasadeva's Brahma Sutra begins with Atato Brahma Jignasa. See, one is Dharma Sutra and it begins with now we should inquire into Dharma. And the other is the Brahma Sutra, also known as Vedanta Sutra, which says now we should inquire into Brahma. So Atato, therefore now we should inquire into Brahma. So Srila Prabhupada, he usually said that this now means now in the human form of life. That's very generous. Baladev Vidyabhushan in his Vedanta Sutra commentary, Govinda Bhasha, he says now means when we're already followed all our varnashram duties, we've executed dharma properly, we've become dissatisfied with that, we've seen the miserable nature of this material world, and then we're ready to ask about Brahma. So the dharma jignasa that's already there, gone, finished, we've done all that, been a good, followed, now after following dharma gata agatam, kama kama laban, going up and down, up and down, up and down, up, up, down, up, down, wait a minute, what's going on here? Okay, brahma jignasa. Now is the time for a Brahma Jigna. So following one's Varnashram duties, which is implicit to Dharma, that gives rise. That's why the karma gives rise to, karma is supposed to give rise to jnana. If one properly follows, then it's ultimately meant to lead to jnana. So yeah, we have to preach. Preach Krishna consciousness. There is good scope, especially in Andhra Pradesh, it seems, which is why the Christians are targeting here, because people are inclined. More than Tamil Nadu, what do you think? You spent the last how many years? 6 years in Tamil Nadu? And then you came back to Andhra Pradesh. So people are more open here. They would have been better in Tamil Nadu if it wasn't for that Periyar movement and that DMK and all this grossly, viciously and vulgarly atheistic movement, which only targets Hindus. They don't go around preaching atheism to the Muslims and Christians, only to the Hindus. So Telugu people are very open, and we saw that yesterday in that village, that people had come, some people came, one couple came 200 kilometers, and people had come from all roundabout villages, because Vishnu Swami's been to Padyatra, and people are interested. They want to come and participate and know about this and take it up. And in India, we often find in the villages that the teachers, government officers, people like this, they're actually very interested to take it up seriously. The people who are educated and intelligent, but not very materially ambitious, you could say. They're not, their goal of life is not to get lots of money and a big house, but they're intelligent and educated, and they're doing what in their mind is social service, like teaching or like this. So especially many teachers take it up. So there is very good scope. We have to present Krishna consciousness in an intelligent way. That is required. And we have to go on giving people training and philosophical understanding. One devotee I know, he came to ISKCON in about 1978. He's one of Jaitav Maharaj's first disciples. His observation about the Nam Hatha in Bengal, now I'm not quoting this, you don't have to take it as a fact, but I'm just saying it's his observation, is that in many villages, many teachers take that up, especially many teachers come, college professors, they take up Krishna consciousness and they read Srila Prabhupada's books, but it often happens to them at some point they feel somewhat empty, that okay, but we're just hearing the same basic philosophy again and again, they have many questions, they read the books, they have many questions. But always the preaching is at such a basic level to try and bring more and more and more people in at the basic level, that devotees, they feel that they want more spiritual nourishment and they want to understand and go deeper. So that's required also. But for that, a lot of regular hearing is required. It like I said, in Krishna consciousness, it's not a matter of, like in Christianity, you can go to the church once a week. But it's really wherever you are, whether you're a grihastha or whatever, Krishna consciousness means, we're actually going to be Krishna consciousness means absorption in hearing and chanting about and remembering Krishna. So that's required. Therefore, I always encourage my disciples. Yes, preach, 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 but you have to study, study, study. Study the books. Hear the lectures. Try to understand. Siddhanta bali achitena karaha alash. Yaha hoite krishne lage sudhira manash. Try to understand these teachings, this Siddhanta. Don't be lazy about that. You say, oh, Hari Nama Eva Kevala. Okay, Hare Krishna. But wait a minute. Our Acharya, our Shastra says you have to study this. Try to understand. This will make the mind firmly attached to Krishna. So that's required. One who regularly hears and dedicates, then they can be fixed in Krishna consciousness. Then they can actually preach effectively. The other day you brought that devotee, he was reading, and in Chaitanya Charitamrita stated that if one chants in one purport concerning Haridas Thakur, it stated that if one chants 3,33,333 names of Krishna daily for a month, and then chants 10 more names, then within 1 month he'll go through this, what is that, Kotina. Then he'll chant 1 million names. 10 million. And Srila Prabhupada writes, this is yajna. And then he writes out, by this Sankirtan yajna, one can attain the Lord. So he said, I want to attain the Lord, but how am I going to chant? I'm so many names. This is Haridas Thakur. So he's trying to explain to him, well, Sankirtan Yajna, Srila Prabhupada has engaged us in with 16 rounds. Not everyone can be like Haridas Thakur. But it seemed he was feeling somewhat despondent because he was thinking that unless I do that, I won't attain love of Krishna. So, reading, yeah, but we have to also understand by regular hearing. It's not that you have to chant all day and night like Haridas Thakur. By Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, by Haridas Thakur's mercy, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, if we chant minimum 16, minimum, chant more, that's also good. If we dedicate to Krishna, then we can get the result of love of Krishna. But it does require seriousness. This is one point that in Christianity, at least as it's promoted nowadays, there's no, I don't think it was ever there in Islam, this idea of that one has to become free from sense gratification. No idea of such a thing. They think the best religion is the one that gives you the more sense gratification. Dharmasya hi arpa vargasya narto tayo pakalpate nartasya cha nartasya, what is that? Dharmai kantasya kamo labhaya hi smritaha. Life, dharma is not meant for artha and kama. Artha and kama is meant for dharma. And ultimately it's all meant for apavarga, for getting out of this dumpy place anyway. So it's elevated process, no doubt. But this is jiva dharma. We hear about Christian dharma, Muslim dharma, Hindu dharma, this is jiva dharma. This is the dharma of all jivas. It's not a sectarian dharma. Hare Krishna. Any question about this, please? Oh yeah, that must come up, that question. How will black magic affect devotees? It may do. Devotee is under the control of Krishna. Devotee surrendered to Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he sings, what is that? Nija? Oh, I can't remember now, but he says that I won't I don't make any effort to maintain myself, just like an animal that is owned, a domestic animal, just whatever the master gives to eat, and the animal is looked after by the... I'm trying to remember the Bengali, but it's not coming to my mind. The animal doesn't think, how will I be protected, how will I get food, just the animal is owned and controlled by the master. So in the same way, a devotee completely depends on Krishna. So a devotee who is very strong in Krishna consciousness may not be affected by all these things. Otherwise, these are very powerful forces of material nature. So Daivi Esha Gunamayi Mamamaya Duratya, Maya is very difficult to overcome. These are very powerful forces. But by chanting the holy names, all bad things can go away. But depends on the strength of the devotee also. There are plenty of ghosts in Vrindavan and Mayapur. So they're floating around on the Prodhamaya, the illusory covering that covers the dham. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was bold enough to apprehend this tantric, Bishakishan. Bold enough means that everyone was afraid, because he was a powerful tantric. You don't mess around with tantrics. So Bishakishan told him that, now you be careful, otherwise... And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself and his whole family felt deathly sick. And it looked like they were all going to die by the effect of the curse of this tantric who he arrested for his illegal and sinful activities. Then Bhaktivinoda had the idea to cut his hair. He had long hair. He cut his hair off and he collapsed and died in police custody. And then he recovered. So it may be, devotees may be affected by that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by being affected by that, he just showed that he depended completely on Krishna, and that he wasn't going to compromise with these rascals. Even if he had to die, he wasn't going to compromise. Jai Sokol Bipod Bhakti Vinod Balen Jaka Naunam Gai. When you chant the holy names of Krishna, then all dangers and difficulties go away. Yeah, that's there also. But what is the real danger is forgetting Krishna and being overcome by Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Mada, Matsarya. Otherwise, it's not that. If we chant Hare Krishna, then all of a sudden a whole team of apsaras will descend from the heavenly planets to massage us and do all our housework and pay all the bills and take away our wives who we're fed up with. And all the problems go away. It's not like that. That's the materialistic understanding, that if you take to this religion, then you get strength, health, wealth. But actually, if we preach Krishna consciousness, we may say, you'll get more troubles. Will I get more money? Let's look it up in the Bhagavatam. Yasyaham anugrihnami harishe tadhanang shana. When I'm really merciful, Krishna says, I take away all the money. We're going to go and preach that? Become a Christian. We'll give you 25,000 down payment, chicken every Sunday, and job for your children. And come to Krishna consciousness. All your money will go away by the grace of God. But at the same time, Jai Sokol Bipod Bhakti Vinod Balen Jokonanda, all our troubles will go away. Trouble means, as Lord Jesus Christ said, that love of money is the root of all sin, root of all evil. That's a well-known saying, which is often misinterpreted as saying that money is the root of all evil. But he says the love of money is the root of all evil. That's how the saying comes in English. Said a lot of good things, Jesus, as far as we know. We don't know exactly what he said, because the Bible, or the record of what we had of what he said, was written after he did whatever he did, ascended to heaven according to the gospel, or maybe went to Kashmir according to others. But some good things there. There are some in the West, there are some Christian atheists. Means they believe the teachings of Jesus. He said good things like those who are first, they shall be last. Do unto others, the golden rule, do unto others as you would want them to do to you. So he said very good things. So we'll accept all that. We don't believe he's God. We don't believe in any God. But he gave very good teachings, like humanism. And some scholars have pointed out that it seems he went to India. At that time in India, the Buddhism was quite prominent. So a lot of his teachings seem to be like Buddhist teachings. Be good. Buddhism is a lot. The Abhidhaya of Buddhism is be good. Be a nice guy. Be a humanist. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.